Conference realignment is back. Mountain West, look out. Also, update on the Purdue kicking and race for the case.
Time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
This story gets really, really Indiana quickly.
Russ Dellinger.
I'm lone Arizona Wildcat.
And SI's Pat Forty.
Antelope don't watch TV.
Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
All right, welcome to the pod and conference realignment never sleeps. Here we are, entering week three. Ross Dellinger, Scoop, good work. All the times you bailed out on the pod, part-time the pod the last few months, pays off.
What are you talking about? I never bailed on the pod. What's this bull?
40 minutes
early,
in.
Where's, starting late.
Yeah, where are you? No, comes through. Pac-12 is rebuilding. The Pac-12 is going to be the pack. I don't know what. Right now, it's a two-pack. It's a two-pack.
It's the six-pack.
It's going to be the six-pack right now. Yes. Six-pack. Oregon State and Washington State make their move on the Mountain West. Maybe it's not as exciting as the SEC getting Texas and Oklahoma. But, hey, here we are. Boise State, San Diego State, Colorado State, Fresno State. They're all leaving the Mountain West to join the six-pack, current six-pack. There will be more. Who that will be, we will get to. Ross, how did this come together? And how long have they been working on this? Let me just set the table here. Why do this? The Pac-2, the Pac-2's got money. They've got money from the Pac-12's college basketball tournament revenues that will pay out for the next few years. They still have a great brand in the Pac-12 or Pac-10 or whatever they're going to call this thing. They still have all the facilities of the Pac-12 network that exist. They have more resources, only two people the Mountain West doesn't have. So there is an appeal for these schools to leave the Mountain West to join up with Oregon State and Washington State rather than Oregon State and Washington State joining the existing Mountain West. And it's a dog-eat-dog world, and everyone's trying to find a little bit better, a little bit higher ground here. So how recently did this all come together, Ross?
Well, I think that probably within the last 3 weeks is when they started to, like, seriously go down this path. I think they had eight options is what I was told. They were using the consulting firm Navigate and they laid out eight different options to them. I think there's a pretty clear like five, probably in this pecking order. Join the Big 12, which obviously didn't happen and probably is something that got rebuffed over the last few weeks. Option two is the ACC, you know, whatever, blows up or there's some kind of, you know, the departures of Florida State, Clemson, whatever, scatter teams and maybe the Oregon State, Washington find a way into the ACC or is impacted somehow by that. And that was kind of option two. And that may not happen or may not happen anytime soon or soon enough. And option three was this option to rebuild. But option four and five were, you know, more of like a merger or reverse merger fully with the Mountain West. So they kind of went down the list. And I think this was the option that became clear a few weeks ago when it was fairly obvious that they weren't getting, you know, into the Big 12 or ACC. And so they started to work down this path and happens, you know, these things do. They happen pretty quickly, you know, and Dan, you brought up some good points. The biggest question yesterday when pursuing the story was why in the heck would they do this? That was the biggest question for many people because they're not A5 status anymore. You know, they don't have that. They don't have CFP power conference status. They're probably not likely to get, I wouldn't think, those things back, those designations back. So why do this? And I think you mentioned the number one, the brand of the Pac-12. Still does exist there. The logo, the shield, it's marketable, right? Number two, all the assets. It's estimated that it's probably well over $100 million of assets coming, maybe over $200 million of assets coming from the Rose Bowl contracts, from the NCAA tournament revenues, Pac-12 networks, now called Pac-12 Enterprises, still in existence. And then the money that's paid to the schools by the schools that left because they lost legally in court. So there's a lot of money coming to them. And they think Navigate did this presentation for all the new schools. And one of the big things was the value, TV value, right? And the Mountain West TV contract, total distributions around $6 million a school. And I think there's a hope that they can get, you know, to 10 or over 10 with the new with the new group of schools. And so all those things is kind of why it happened. And here we are.
Patrick, thoughts?
Here we are. Yes. Very much on brand Pac-12 After Dark can still strike because this all blew up close to midnight. And yes, Ross had the first story on it. I confirmed it. I don't know, like an hour later, other people confirmed it as well. And I think when the September 1st deadline to extend the scheduling agreement between these two schools and the Mountain West passed, it's like, okay, what exactly is up here? And we started to find out a little bit more what's up, and Ross certainly laid it out well. I think kind of the path that we got to this last Pac-12 After Dark moment. But I am... Yeah, in the zero-sum game of college realignment, there's always winners, there's always losers. I'm tickled to death for Oregon State and for Washington State. They latched onto their life raft like a pit bull onto somebody's leg and would not let go. Like, we are keeping the Pac-12 name. We're suing in court. We're going to get the money from the rest of you bastards that left us. We're not going to knuckle under to the immediate panic or pressure of, oh my God, we better just join the Mountain West. They hung tough and they said, let's just figure this out. And they took a year and then they went and got four schools that I'm happy for those four schools that have had sustained success and or commitment to success in football, especially in good markets, Boise State, Colorado State, Fresno State, San Diego State. And now they had a chance to move up and to, you know, get somewhere that they've wanted to go. It's not, you know, it's not deliverance, as Ross said, as Dan said, it's not, you're not all of a sudden delivered into a Power Five conference, but you're probably in a better place now. And then I feel terrible for the other eight in the Mountain West who are right now spun loose and wondering what exactly is going to happen. And there will be some more additions, and we'll see where they come from. That's going to be the next intrigue. And I'm surprised UNLV isn't part of this right now. We'll see whether that changes here in the future. But the, you know, there's, you know, again, winners and losers in all these things. And I feel very good for the winners and very bad for the losers today.
Yeah, I'll echo much of that. Happy for Washington State and Oregon State. They made the most. They played the game right. They got left behind. They got in a really bad situation. Obviously, they wish that the Pac-12 had just stuck together. But this isn't a better. But they have played their hand about as well as you can play. Their only other really option to me was that they were going to somehow get in the Big 12. And when that wasn't the case, they did their job. So they've got that. And for the ones from the Mountain West that are going to move into this league, it is a plus. This is kind of Mountain West plus. They're going to have a better brand name. They're going to have a little bit more money. It would seem they will weed out some of the bottom of their league or less desirable markets. And I'm using that term because that's how TV executives do it. But for Boise and Fresno, we really take this stuff seriously. Colorado State's trying, San Diego State's trying, they got a new stadium and all that. This is a pretty good deal for them. I'm worried about who's left behind. And so let's get to this. Let's play this scenario on, you got six, you're looking for two to four more. Okay. What are the chances? I know the answer to this, but what are the chances of Cal and Stanford saying, okay, this is enough for us to stay, say we want to be a West Coast, we want to stay in the West Coast rather than this semi, it's quite absurd pursuit of playing all over the country. Ross, your thoughts on that?
Well, remember option two, as I mentioned, was the ACC, blow up or some kind of event that created dominoes. And I think, you know, that sure could still happen. But that was the thinking, right? Is that the ACC, whether Florida State or Clemson get out or, you know, and it's a domino effect, that Stanford and Cal would be on the loose and they could add them and then add these teams. And that's actually a pretty solid eight, you know, there. And that, again, that didn't happen. The timing didn't work out right now. But yeah, I mean, maybe down the line that does happen. But Stanford and Cal, to be clear, because it's not been made clear, did sign and had to sign the Granite Rights. They are bound to 2036, as the Granite Rights reads right now. Of course, the Granite Rights, as we all know, is being challenged. So that could be something in the future that impacts them. So yeah, down in the future, maybe that is a possibility.
Pat, would they do that if they could? Or were they too snooty to go hang out with?
Well, there's several reasons they would not like to do it. I think it would take an ACC disintegration to even put it on the table. For one thing, Ross said that the financial penalties right now would be immense. Secondly, when they do start getting full revenue from the ACC, it's going to be a hell of a lot more than they'd be getting in the refurbished pack, whatever. Third, the level of competition in most of their sports would drop so badly that it would really hurt their, you know, we're talking about one of the top two all sports athletic departments in the country in Stanford and a top 10 to 15 in Cal. And they don't get anything out of playing most of their sports against Fresno and Boise and Colorado State, or Oregon State and Washington State for that matter. So there's plenty of reasons. And then, yes, the snooty factor too, right? I mean, academically and otherwise, do you want to consort with these people? So, no, I think that it's unless painted into a corner by the demise of the ACC, hell no, they won't go.
Yeah, I think they made that clear when they left.
Right.
Because they could have stayed with the others and said, well, call Boise. Yeah. They'll be over here in 10 minutes. Yeah, it's.
Yep.
Yeah. They could have group checked you up to six schools from the Mountain West and had this done the day after the betrayal.
But you know what? I don't know if Stanford maybe would be lumped in because they've been so successful across the board in their Olympic sports. But when you look at Stanford and Cal, the budget, the profiles, obviously the geography, cultural fit and everything, I mean, obviously it makes sense, right, for them to be there and instead of competing with North Carolina and Miami and Clemson. But as Pat said, you know, and as I mentioned with the valuation, because it always goes back to money, right? This always goes back to money. And, you know, if the valuation of the Pac-12, let's say at the high end, is in the mid-teens for a TV deal, and I really don't know what it is. I'm just kind of throwing out numbers, honestly. Then that's half of what the ACC is getting, actually less than half. Now, I know Stanford and Cal aren't getting full membership yet, but they will in the agreement. So that obviously the financials of that are really important, and that's why I think Pat and I would both believe that it would take, some kind of big event in the ACC, like the departure of two powerhouse schools and all that, to kind of cause a ripple effect for them to agree, I think, to come back over to the Pac-12.
Yeah, I mean, Stanford will do anything to – they're not worried about travel. They're worried about how competitive their sport is. I just looked it back up. We talked about this at the time. Now they're playing field hockey in the ACC. There's enough ACC programs to put down a field hockey program. There is no field hockey on the West Coast, or very, very little, if any. So like they're playing non-conference games at like Ball State and stuff. Like like field hockey is a very regionalized thing. But previously to this ACC, they were in America East for field hockey. You want to play field hockey at Stanford. Last year, just last year, they played road games in Burlington, Vermont. They played UAlbany, Albany, New York. They played Bryant College in Smithfield, Rhode Island. They played UMass Lowell in Lowell, Massachusetts. They went to Maine, and they went to New Hampshire, Durham, New Hampshire, and Orono, Maine. Plus, they did road trip into the big to at Ohio State, Michigan State. Like, they're like, yeah, we don't care. This is what we are. Most schools would say, yeah, we don't have a field hockey program. Not Stanford. They're going to spend all of that money. And the Stanford brand, that tree, the whole thing is at Bryant College. Like, what? How is this happening? Joe's been to Bryant College, I bet. You know, that is not where you're expecting to see Stanford. Okay. Not a lot of common ground there. So they will do anything. All right. I see that is entirely unlikely. Agree. Go ahead, Pat.
Just a real quick.
Former parent of a Stanford athlete.
Yeah. I'm still her parent. She's just
a that's true. I'm sorry. Yeah.
No disownment yet.
Well, I don't know. We'll see what Brooke thinks about that.
Yeah. Right. She may disown me. It's funny, just like by pure happenstance, got a story up today at Sports Illustrated talking to mostly Stanford, but also a little bit Cal, UCLA, about the logistics and the nuts and bolts of how they're going to do this cross-country travel. That's like, look, we'll figure that out. They are not surrendering their primacy from an athletic standpoint for extra miles. But right now, in fall sports alone, Stanford is currently number one in the nation in women's soccer, number two in women's volleyball, number three in men's soccer, number seven in women's cross country, and number 10 in men's cross country. You're not getting that competition if you stay with the schools that you're currently that are the Pac-6.
Just a note, Bryant College won that game 2-0. They put a whooping. They took UMass Lowell took Stanford to the woodshed 3-0. Albany beat them 1-0. No wonder these kids were exhausted.
Stanford's not very good at field hockey.
No, well, how would you be? Like,
yeah.
New Hampshire beat them 3-1. I mean, it must have been some serious partying in town. Like, I know it's field hockey, but what the hell? We beat Stanford. We're Bryant College. All right. Who from the Mountain West is the next round of contenders? Okay. Because they're going to need some teams. And this is where we're at. To me, I'm kind of puzzled that they aren't already in. UNLV would seem to be my number one choice. I would go. My prediction would be the next two are UNLV and Utah State. I think you want to be in Utah, which is a fast-growing population, particularly in Salt Lake and that sort of metropolis. I don't know. Ross, what are you hearing on who might be next, and how did the Rebels not get in this?
Yeah, great question. I oftentimes we talk about the political situation in certain states. And how schools, institutions are connected together and need to go together. I think the University of Nevada and UNLV are two of in that category. And I think that that is a big piece in during this because, yes, UNLV sure seems like it should be in along with, I mean, because my initial reaction when I heard about this a few weeks ago was, well, surely they're going to go get Boise, San Diego State, and UNLV. Like that was the three I thought for sure. And there is definitely some political situations in that state where both would have to go maybe. And it still could happen, as you mentioned. But I think the first option is them to look probably eastward. Because I think they believe they are going to be, they want to be the best of the rest, so to speak, in the group of five, and maybe be that program that's not in the group of five. Maybe be a program that's in between the power four and the group of five. Maybe the group of one, and maybe its CFP distribution might end up being that way, where it's actually in between the Big 12 and the group of five. It'll be interesting to see that in a few years when the contract look-in provision comes up. We can talk about that later. But
when you say east, what are we talking? Like Memphis? Like who's available?
I think, Texas schools, American Texas schools, Sunbelt Texas schools, Memphis, obviously.
So like
Conference USA, Texas schools.
Texas State, UTSA, UTEP. Like what are we? Yeah. We got to be specific here. We got to
Let's lift up some programs. Obviously,
we lift up their hopes and then we crush them later. But they listen. This is about ratings, buddy.
That's right.
You
lift them up now. Pump them full of hope.
The criteria they used in the release was as far as what they're looking for in future members is academics and athletic performance, media and brand value, commitment to athletic success, geography and logistics, culture and student athlete welfare. So, Texas, North Texas, UTSA, Texas State, Memphis, Tulane, maybe even, I mean, this would be way east, right? But if they're talking about getting the best of the rest as far as, you know, revenue producing, all that stuff, South Florida. So I think there's a lot of options east. The problem is I don't know. Exactly. Right. Like you're laughing because how
first
absurd
off,
that
list
be?
Is like, that's like when you ask like some girl, you're like, well, I'm looking for a guy with kind eyes and he's good with pets. And then it's like the dude's got a Lamborghini. Oh, well, hanging out with him. Come on. Right. It was all a bunch of crap. That list is crap. Who gets us the most TV money? That's all the list is.
But, you know, the American
student welfare. Come on.
Their distribution is around TV distribution around 9 million. I think it can maybe get up to 10 annually, you know, per school, because this is all about financials. It's always is about money. So you think about what the Pac-12 could get, what their value is, their TV value for their distribution. And it's got to be, you would think it's got to be a lot more than that to convince teams out there to come cross country to join a league that isn't A5.
Do not do that. South Florida, do not do this. Come on.
I agree. I think that would be a terrible decision, but how many terrible decisions have we seen been made?
Yeah, there's been a lot.
And the just flying in the face of geography and reason. But yeah, I mean, I like if I'm looking at it, the UNLV piece is fascinating. And that if the damn Fremont Cannon keeps UNLV out of the Pac-12, that's the trinket they play for in their rivalry game with Reno. Vegas is going to turn that cannon on Reno and shoot it at them because Vegas is like that. They should be a natural fit there, both geographically and to have Las Vegas, to have the market and to have access to the stadium for your championship game and so many other things. It just fits. So, yeah, I think they've got to see if they can figure out a way to do that. If Reno holds them back, woo.
You remember in The Godfather, right? Like they make their money down in Vegas and then the Corleone family gets up at Lake Tahoe. They got that compound. You got to connect those two. It's not easy. They make a pinky promise in Nevada. You don't mess with it.
That's true.
You don't mess with it.
You can lose some people in Lake
Tahoe.
Back
in the day, there would have been a few explosions in a parking deck before this thing went down. Hopefully we've moved on. Yeah. Somebody gets buried in Lake Mead.
State of Texas makes sense. You know, what you would have to do in the case of UTSA or North Texas is to convince them that Mountain West, Pac-12, I'm sorry, would be better than the AAC. And that's a different argument. You got to figure that one out. Texas State, it's interesting. And the timing of all this is so fascinating, guys. Texas State is playing tonight.
Yeah.
A national showcase game against Arizona State. What better time for them to say, hey, look what we got going on down here. And then, of course, Saturday, we have Oregon State hosting Oregon, Washington State playing Washington, Colorado State playing Colorado. So, like, the showcase is – the stage is set for these schools that either putting this league together or wanting perhaps to be in that league right here, right now. It's just – it's fascinating timing.
I don't know about these Texas schools. Maybe. Like, at least UTEP matters in El Paso.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know that the others really. I mean, they haven't. I don't. They were trying to sell tickets yesterday at Texas State for this Arizona State game. I love it. We talked about San Marcos, right? San Marcos. I think I said it wrong the other day. Of course.
I think it's Marcos, isn't it? It's spelled Marcos.
Marcos. Someone said. Yeah. I don't know. They're lucky. I said Texas right. Okay, so I probably not even. I think I got Nevada. Though I think I got Nevada. That one's a tricky one. Anyway, you know who really cares about athletes? You know your list there? You know your list? Yeah. All the things that matter, except for TV markets, is Wyoming.
Mm. Yeah, right. Totally.
I fear for Wyoming. I fear for the Pokes. That's a school that has done every single thing they can do to maximize what they can be. They care. The fans care. They invest. They have great environments, all this stuff. They just happen to be in Wyoming. If they're going on that little, match.com list, then Wyoming fits most of the bill. But TV, no. You're not getting much out of the Cheyenne market. But I really fear for Wyoming here because I don't think they probably don't stand a chance, but they should.
Yeah. No, I feel for them too. The problem, there's more antelope than humans in the state. It's antelope don't watch TV.
That's so true, probably, I mean, right? That's a real fact.
Yeah.
How about that? Fact.
It's got to be. I've driven through the state. It's got to be true.
Okay. So it wasn't a fact. It was good, though.
Yeah, no, I have no idea. You know, they're like 2 hours, a little more than 2 hours from Denver, but that's all they got. You know,
it's like 2 hours
is a long way. Yeah. It's far enough that you're not really in the market there.
I think
Colorado State is.
I think Utah is such a booming state right now. I know that comes out of nowhere, but I think Utah State's got an argument. I know they're not in Salt Lake, but Hawaii, I mean, seems like if they wanted San Jose State, they would have grabbed them already. Yep. I don't know. Maybe they're leaving. New Mexico. Proud history. I mean, you got Albuquerque, like they matter in their state. That's my thing. Like Wyoming and New Mexico and some of these places, a UTEP even, trying to look at this list. Like they matter in their state. You can go and sit there and say, we're going to take UT San Antonio, Texas. Like, yeah, we're going to grab a little of the Austin market, a little of the San Antonio. Like they don't resonate. So it's like you're chasing something that probably isn't there. When you have that built-in generational passion that you get it at places like New Mexico and Wyoming.
Well, so here's the thing to keep in mind with the adding teams, and I think it's a selling point for the Pac-12 and recruiting these Mountain West members, was we're going to cut the pie into bigger slices and not as many slices. So maybe, you know, the Mountain West had 12 football members. So if you have a conference of 8 or 10, obviously you don't have to split, the revenue, your distribution number, your TV money with as many members. So I think it's important every member you add that they don't remove too much value. And I think that's the goal. And that's why they could stop at 8. And certainly, I don't know, I don't really expect them to get over 10, but they could, I guess, with interest. Because I think the idea is to cut the pie a little bigger. It's the whole reason you heard about the Mountain West, potential for the Mountain West to actually dissolve itself in a reverse type of merger. That was one of the things that was thrown out there. And the reason they would have done that, they needed 9 votes. The Mountain West needs, and still does, I guess, in a way, still needs 9 votes to dissolve the conference, and then you wouldn't have to pay exit fees and penalties and all that stuff from what I understand. So there was a thought that the Mountain West would get the 9 and basically just lop off the 3, right? That kind of, quote, drag it down. And that way you cut the pie right into smaller or to bigger pieces and not as many slices. So you got to keep that in mind as they're, that's something they're definitely cognizant of as they're thinking about what to do next.
Could we have some like upgrades and whatever's left, try to cobble together a conference with, you know, are the Montana Grizzly going to go, Montana State? Like what? Schools out
yeah,
there.
Yeah. Mountain West could look FCS, you know, North Dakota State, Mount Montana, Tarleton South State in Texas. State. Yeah. I mean, you could see, some of those.
And this thing's getting deep.
Yeah. And but remember,
frankly, look, in terms of geography and like population stuff, Wyoming fits in more with those schools. South Dakota State, North Dakota State, Montana.
Yeah. I know.
Sorry. Well, and keep in mind that the FBS just changed its entrance fee Yep. From five, what is it? What was it, Pat? 5,000 to 5 million?
Yeah, it was a massive increase.
I think it was something like that.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like,
they're going to group on all... that thing.
They'll take the exit fees from the Pac-12 and pay for those,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's, I said it's a zero sum game, but the fact is we've kind of had this creeping up of additional members in the FBS. We've gone from 120 to 134 in like 15 years. Mm-hmm. But they're trying to basically limit the number of people who get on the gravy train. And that's why they're making it more expensive to join FBS and probably stop some of the upward migration.
And remember, they put a kind of a kibosh, the commissioners did, on new CFP money to new schools that are in the power conferences and in the group of five. Because, yeah, but to Pat's point, the power four has grown bigger. Despite losing a whole conference, it has grown bigger. The FBS, the G5, has certainly grown larger as well. And these are things that those in the highest levels of the sport are trying to stop. And they've created rules to de-incentivize the movement, but that might not hold up some of these rules, because I could see you got to backfill, right, some way probably. And I would imagine they're going to do that. And some of the only options may be to look below to FCS.
All right. Well, the drama will continue. We'll be back after this message. I've got an update on the pod doing some good. Pod doing good. Mm. I know. Mm. I'm as surprised as anybody. All right. Now that we've discussed the future of Montana State and other really important...
Hey, we're on in the stadium in Montana. I know.
Hey, like Montana. I hope they do. I'd love to visit. Montana's awesome.
But Dan and Pat knows this. Like, all of us in journalism are always asked, like, hey, what are the stories that get the most traffic and reads and people care about? Realignment.
That's why I just spent 30 minutes on it.
Effing time. It's realignment. It's unbelievable how many people care, even about some of the low levels of realignment.
I know. Now, people have no idea what actually works on the internet. Anyway, we'll do more really important stories here. We're gonna double up on our Kicks for Cash People's Court. To recap, on Saturday at the Purdue game, they had a promo during a timeout called Kicks for Cash, and a student comes out. They try a 20, a 30, and a 40-yarder all within 30 seconds. If you hit all three of them within 30-second time, you get a two-year lease on a Honda from Bob Roorman Honda in Lafayette. Pretty simple, right? Well, our hero, Zach Spangler Jr. from Purdue, he goes out there and he hits the 20, he hits the 30, hits the 40, and thinks he wins a car. He's told he wins a car. Everybody cheers at the stadium. It's all exciting. And then they check the video replay review, and his final kick left his foot with 30 and 5/100ths of a second. So he was behind. He missed he did not get it in. The Bob Roorman people, and they're probably their insurance agency, said the rules are the rules. They denied the car. Now, the people's court, we fight for justice. We fight. We're like one of those, like,
injury lawyers.
Yeah, ambulance chasing. Yes. We take on big Honda. Big Honda. We're not afraid.
Yeah. We're here to fight for you.
And injustice anywhere is justice everywhere. We're here to fight. So we took up the case of Zach Spangler. And Pat, I believe, called Bob Roorman Honda all sorts of names. And I instituted a boycott. I said I'd never buy a Honda from Bob Roorman Honda in Lafayette. Lifetime boycott. And I think we helped move the needle. I'm not saying it was all. I think at some point these guys came up. But they are now going to award a car to Zach Spangler. Bob Roorman Honda has redone it. They offered him a car, but he agreed to take $5,000 instead of a car. Now, Zach Spangler junior farm management major out there at Purdue, was so amused. I don't know if he was thankful or more amused that these us idiots were taking such amount of time on his case, but he reached out to me. I talked to Zach, fine young man. Yesterday for a while, he wanted to give the whole details on the story. So I have a few updates. I also have the video. Now we're going to play this video on our YouTube, and you can hear it. Play this thing. It's only 30 seconds, and it's 30 and 500ths of a second long video. But I really feel if you listen at the end to the announcer counting down the seconds, I think Zach had a hell of a case there would be no reason for him to believe that he needed to hit it in exactly 30 seconds. Play this video here, Joe. There's our guy with the hat. He loses the hat, though.
Bucket hat up, bucket hat gone.
Yeah, it's Indiana win. Struggled at the 30.
It's okay.
Oh, he gets multiple kicks per yard line.
Many kicks. No tee. He's got a woman from the marketing department holding it or something.
Yep. Looks like a good hold. Good hold. There you go. Got it.
Oh, yeah. Points it.
Moving to the 40.
Here we go.
He's got the sunglasses
now, listen.
On. He looks cool.
Wow. The roar.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
He took 20 seconds to hit the 30-yarder.
Not good for 30, but 40. He's your long kicker. He's your long kicker. He had never kicked the football before, he told me. He had played soccer his whole life.
He had never kicked a football?
Never once. He almost went out for the team. He's from Yorktown, Indiana, outside of Muncie. This story gets really, really Indiana quickly. Okay, this gets really Indiana.
What does that mean, Dan?
Oh, you'll find out. he lives on an 800-acre corn and soybean farm that his grandfather founded, at least. Yeah outside of Muncie. If you ever been around Muncie, that's pretty much what's there. His family, now, if you're looking, they have their own, the Spangler Market. They have a roadside stand where they sell tomatoes and pumpkins, a lot of pumpkins. So everyone in Indiana, even Western Ohio, looking for a pumpkin. It's almost pumpkin time. Drive yourself over to Yorktown, find the Spangler Market. They're selling pumpkins. And so he's a farm management major, wants to go back, handle the family farm. I mean, that's some good stuff. He's a very nice young guy.
I can hear John Mellencamp playing in the background here.
Really is, right? I mean, this is pretty much the story, right? Start the farm. The farm gets more complicated. You send your kids to Purdue. They learn how to do the farming. They're going to be back. Couple things now. So when Roorman said no, and you could kind of hear that in that video, the guy was counting it down. 3, 2, and he goes one. Kind of like when you're just shooting, baskets in your driveway or whatever down the park. And you want to hit that Steph Curry shot. You don't actually have the little clock running. So you just do it. So I really felt he needed it. Well, Roorman we were a big part of it, but the worm really turned here when the Facebook moms, he said the Facebook moms heard about this and they just, he says, when those Facebook moms get angry, and I was like, yeah, I think we all know
the bone.
Yeah. There's no more terrifying force in the United States than Facebook moms. They went after Bob Roorman Honda. In the interim, he had been offered a lease by Curry, a car dealership down in Bloomington, Indiana, that was willing to give him a car despite his poor choice of college. They were willing to give him another dealer outside of Purdue, another in Lafayette, and one northwest of Chicago offered him a car. So he got offered 4 or 5 different cars. He also, AJ's in Lafayette, gave him free burgers for a year.
Fantastic.
Wow. Free burgers for a year. He originally, when he got denied the car, he was good. They were going to give him $200. You get $100 if you hit the 20, and you get $250 if you hit the 30, and then you get the car or the money if you hit the 40, and he was going to get $250. So his What is his girlfriend's name? I wrote it down here somewhere. His girlfriend. I'm not gonna say the wrong name because that would be bad. I don't want to do that. Maddie. Lovely Maddie. The lovely Maddie said you have to take me out on a date with this 250. Well, Maddie, you're getting a hell of a date. He's got 5 G's now. He's got five.
Hold on. Yeah. Take Maddie to the burger place.
Well,
get a free burger.
That was what I said, that's how he's. Maddie would never have talked to me in college. I don't know Maddie, but I should probably would not. Zach's got more game than me and us. So, I would say go to AJ's, but she already knows about the AJ's free burger. So that's not going to work. Yeah, So he's got $5,000. Like that sounds like Chicago, not Lafayette. Okay. You're going to a real thing. He's supposed to get his prize on Saturday. They're going to have another event. He's expecting one of those big golf checks. And then Bob Roarman Honda is giving $5,000 to the Ross Aid Brigade, the student fan section as well.
So they're
paying their penance. And we did joke that this story would only make sense really if it involved a Chevy Silverado, right? Or an F-150. And it turns out the car that, if you remember, Spangler said, I already have a car. He was more upset that his quote, I just wanted everyone to know I hit that kick. He's playing for the love of the game. His car is a Chevy Silverado, 2008 with 140,000 miles on it. And Spangler's good with it because he's salt of the earth. He's a pod type guy. He doesn't need fancy Honda Civic. Give me the $5,000. I'm driving Maddie up to Chicago for a fancy dinner in my 140,000 mile Silverado.
Oh my gosh. This is the most Indiana story I've heard in quite a while. It really is. It really is. Up to and including Bob Roarman now rolling over. And so now I guess, Dan, you got to buy a Honda from Bob Roarman.
The boycott is over. If I am shopping for a Honda in Lafayette, I will. Not buy American, man. Live in Detroit. I'm buying a Honda. Unless they sponsor. If they want to throw 5 G's at the pod, then Bob Roarman can become the official Honda dealership of the pod. I don't care. I'm easily bought, much like the Ross Aid Brigade or whatever. This is
good for Roarman. I mean, you know, it was a weasel move to begin with, but good for them for making it right here at the end.
Okay. Never too late to do the right thing.
That's right. I'm glad we could exert our influence for justice, sticking up for the little guy here. Good for us.
We have a lot of power, but we use it properly. I think that's really the key. To great power goes great responsibilities. And we did that. All right. One more before the race for the case. These are the important stories of the day. It's not going so well down at Auburn. I think Cal beat them 21-14. They struggled the first game. The offense is bad. They're 1-1. Hugh Freeze has said he didn't call a good game. A lot of pressure on QB Peyton Thorne. He said that on his Venmo account, he says Auburn fans or people that bet Auburn were messaging him or looking him up on Venmo requesting that he pay them back for their lost bet because he played so poorly against Cal. Quote, they're definitely not sending cash. When they lose money, they want the money back. But when they win money on a parlay, no one's ever sending any money. Yeah, that's right. That's the truth.
How it goes. Yeah.
Pat, your thoughts? Is this a fair? If you blew your rent on betting Auburn Cal, should Peyton Thorne be responsible? These guys seem to think so.
Well, yeah. If you're dumb enough to bet on Peyton, your rent on Peyton Thorne, you get what you get. Very nice young man, by the way, and I hope his season picks up after throwing 4 interceptions against the Golden Bears. But no, he should not be held responsible for your bad bet. Sorry for your luck, gamblers out there, but own your loss. That's all you can do.
Yeah. Come on, man. I mean, what the hell? This is actually, Dan, I hate to get too serious. this is like a real concern from at the, you know, at the NCAA level, at the college level, that this is happening and happening like seriously to athletes. Like, you owe me money, or, you know, go kill yourself because you didn't win the game and I lost money.
Well, yeah.
It's wild awesome. Right now. It's sad. I think there was a story told to me. I think Pat heard this, or either maybe he shared it with me, at the NCAA basketball tournament, either last year or the year before, maybe there was a kid like walking out of the tournament, you know, and like some fan confronted him in the hallway. I mean, it just like, it's wild, man. I mean, you make the bet, you take the consequences.
Yeah, there's scary guys in the tournament, like a bench warmer gets in and gets his moment and makes a three, and it's this should be this highlight happy moment, but he changes the spread and he's getting shit from bettors because of it.
Yeah.
Gross.
I would.
Yeah, I think Dana O'Neill actually wrote a little bit about it maybe a few months ago. Speaking of, congrats to Dana. She's on, out and on.
New job.
Yeah, going to Villanova anyway.
Yeah, dark side.
Don't harass the athletes, even the coaches. I mean, I would blame Hugh Freeze more than Peyton Thorne. The kid's trying, whatever. I don't know. Remember when Oregon went and played Boise State once when Chip Kelly was there, and Boise beat them. And some fan wrote to Chip Kelly and complained and said, I wasted all this money traveling to the game. And Chip Kelly wrote him a check and paid for his trip.
That's right. That was Chip Kelly's first game as head coach.
Paid him back. That's a solid move by Chip, but I don't think that you want that precedent. Don't bet. That'd be it. If you're going to get so upset that you're going to attack the Auburn quarterback, that would be it. All right, we'll be back right after this with Race for the Case. All right, Race for the Case time. Look who's in first place, me. Commanding lead. I'm 7-5. Pat and Joe are 6-6. Ross.
Pulling up the rear.
Yeah. Stop Caboose. Breaking stories, would you? Concentrate on this.
Yeah, I need to pay attention more to the picks. That's what I should be focused on. Studying up on the teams.
Well, let's start right here. Arizona ranked 20th at number 14, Kansas State. K-State is giving 7.5, 8 p.m. on Fox on Friday. Little Apple, let's go.
Mm.
Ross, you can start.
That is a lot of points. And I mean, these are two programs that I think were probably picked by various people to win the league. I think they're in the top 4 or 5 of that conference. And that's just too many points for Arizona. We talked a lot about Noah Fifita, the Arizona quarterback, and they kept the receiver. Is it McMillan?
Yep.
And they're really explosive offensively. I don't know if they go in there and win, but they go in there and do enough. Give me the Wildcats to cover it.
Oh boy, it's a tough one. Which Wildcats to cover? The Arizona Wildcats.
That trick. Bob Roman Honda making the picks here.
That's how I'm going to climb back. Well, I said the Wildcats. Give me Arizona to cover.
All right. Wow. Okay. All right. Yeah. It's a tough one. I like K-State at home here. Arizona befuddled me last week by muddling very unimpressively past Northern Arizona, a game in which Tedrow McMillan went from 10 catches for 304 yards and 4 touchdowns to 2 catches for 11 yards. So, like, I don't know what to think. I'm gonna roll with the home team to cover it. I hate that hook. I hate the half point there, but I'm just gonna take K-State and say that they take care of business.
Yeah, the line's terrible. It's kind of a tough one to bet because of everything you guys are saying. But I can't help but focus on how bad Arizona played against Northern Arizona. McMillan was completely taken out of the game. They also gave up 30-something points to New Mexico in like almost 500 yards. I think this K-State team's better than people are willing to give them credit for how they allowed Tulane to play them close. I'm taking K-State to cover as well.
Yeah. This is a true, excellent dad joke here. Every man a Wildcat in this game.
That's true.
Terrible. Yes. I'll take Kansas State. You don't walk into Little Apple. You don't just walk into Little Apple on Friday night.
I'm lone Arizona Wildcat.
Huh? Yeah, you're the lone Arizona Wildcat. You had your chance to flip-flop, but you didn't do it. All right. Alabama giving 16 is at Wisconsin, which is going to be drinking 16 beers before the game. This will be a drunk fest.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're probably already after it in Madison. Guarantee we discussed, it. I think we did an entire pod. Those of you that just show up for the season, you miss really the fun of the offseason. I believe we did an entire, nearly an entire pod on what a disaster it is to have this game at noon, 11 a.m. in Madison. Right. I mean, you get Alabama to show up once. It's a chance for, you know, this is the time of year, like Wisconsin, the weather's so perfect. And like one of the greatest things of all time. And we got to play this thing at 11 a.m. because Fox might get another 200,000 people to watch. Like,
yeah,
TV times suck.
They do. This is an injustice, no doubt about it, to have this game at 11. But we all know that ain't stopping the Wisconsin fans.
No.
At all.
That's a good point. You get
I've been up there for basketball games in that state when it's noon and it's noon tip-off and it's like 18 degrees. They're hammered. So it's good weather. They'll start very early and they'll be ready.
Let's do it. Pat, who are you picking?
All right, I'm taking the Badgers and the points. Alabama did not impress me against South Florida. They will probably play better than that. But Wisconsin, home, fickle, will have a defense to put on the field here. I don't like Wisconsin's offense. Phil Longo has not been able to get the spread offense going there in year two. Didn't in year one either. But I think they can at least keep it close enough. And this looks like a... 27-17 kind of game to me. So the Badgers cover.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I don't, it's a lot of points and I don't like Wisconsin's offensively. They got Tyler Van Dyke at quarterback and he's thrown one touchdown pass in games against Western Michigan and South Dakota. So they've really struggled, but their defense, I think, is good enough to stay within the 16. But I do like Alabama to win the game, but give me Wisconsin at home to do enough defensively to cover.
I'm taking Bama. This game makes me – I really think it's going to play out the way that Texas-Michigan did for the obvious reason. Tyler Van Dyke's not good. I am extremely anti-Tyler Van Dyke. Alabama last week was dealing with offensive line injuries. Some of these guys are supposed to be coming back. But Van Dyke has never been good. For some reason, we try to sell ourselves on this, and we're being reminded that they do not move the ball very quickly with him at quarterback for Wisconsin. So if it all takes a couple quick scores by Alabama, they're out of the game, just like what happened with Davis Warren and Michigan against Texas.
Tyler Van Dyke in 2021, 25 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, 2,900 yards for Miami.
We were lied to.
He was good.
We were lied to with that stat total. After the over stats after that.
declining returns, but he did have a moment.
Brief one.
I'm going Wisconsin. This is too much. Too much emotion. They're going to feel the power of the state. They're going to feel it.
The beer of the state.
They're going to feel
the buzz of the state.
From the tap room at Mars Cheese Castle to the jump around 38th row.
They will be jumping around.
I mean, you ever been to that Mars Cheese Castle, Kenosha?
No. I've seen it. It's an amazing edifice.
It is an amazing edifice, the Cheese Castle, and they sell a lot of cheese in there. They also have a tap room. They drink. They have a bar in the. You think you're going in a cheese store, but there's a bar, of course, because it's Wisconsin.
Yeah, sounds like a good live pod.
I mean, what better?
Better? Isn't that state like famous for being the drunkest state? Like some stats for.
Remember during COVID, their Supreme Court ruled you can't shut down a bar or something? Yeah. Like they literally put it into the state constitution that essential services, right? In case there's another pandemic, like hospitals, fire stations, neighborhood tap room. Wisconsin's going to at least cover. Probably just cover. Yeah. I don't.
On drunkenness alone.
Let's go. Let's do it. LSU, number 16, giving 7 at South Carolina. Another noon game. ABC. Game day's over there. Can Shane Beamer keep the good times rolling? Or are we going to see LSU? They lost that game against USC, but they played really well in it. So, Ross?
Yeah, I don't like this. this line. It's another another road team with a pretty high line here. But I'm going to pick LSU to cover the touchdown. If it was a little more than a touchdown, I think I'd go with the Gamecocks. But the LSU's, yeah, they're, as you mentioned, you know, they do have the loss to USC, but they didn't play super as well as they could in that game, especially late. I mean, they had a big lead. They probably should have won the game. So I think they're incredibly talented, obviously. Garrett Nussmeier, quarterback, shown what he has. So give me the Tigers to cover the 7 on the road in South Carolina.
I triumphed as a lone cock last week.
Oh, boy.
But I am abandoning them. I'm going with the Tigers here. South Carolina won and won by a lot in Lexington. I mean, it was impressive, but you dig into the stats and it's like, how? They had 252 yards of offense. That's it. They dominated a very bad Kentucky offense, and LSU's offense is nowhere near as bad as Kentucky's. So I think LSU comes in ready, fairly rested, coming off a walkover game in week 2, catches South Carolina on maybe a little bit of a letdown, and wins and covers.
I feel like this is going to bite me in the ass, but I guess I'm going lone cock this week.
No.
Don't talk about getting bite in the ass and lone cock in the same sentence.
Yeah, I've said my
family podcast, Joe. It's a family podcast.
My reasoning here, though,
what is happening?
I can't help but give them credit. One, they're playing at home. LSU, they're dealing with a hurricane this week. I think that creates just a really tumultuous situation for them getting prepared for it. I don't think the South Carolina team is as good as some people are hyping them up to be after that Kentucky game for what you just said, Pat. I don't know how they won if you just look at the stats. They benefited from a lot of short fields, but their defense is really good. Their defense is really sneaky good. So if they are able to drag LSU down just a little bit, there's a shot that they could cover and maybe lose by a field goal.
Taking LSU. I think they're really good. I think they're really
good. We do have a lone cock. There we go.
All you. Man, we're going to have Shannon Sharp on this podcast if it gets any crazy.
Oh, Lord.
Well, I mean, we're trending in that direction.
That
I'm trying to talk about cheese castles here, and you guys are taking this whole thing to the gutter. The whole show is going to the gutter. My God, I'm like, let's have a little Wisconsin cheddar and a beer. No, you guys, crazy. Texas A&M, 3.5 at Florida. Man, Joe, you picked an exciting game here.
I guess I was trying to pick a game that had a good,
I mean, what is this?
That had a good line. I couldn't. All these lines were terrible. I had to put the big primetime matchups. But yeah, I guess this isn't exactly a
boy. I'm thrilled.
A big pick.
3:30 on ABC. Pat, who you got here? Texas A&M.
Yeah, the line is tough here. I'm going to take A&M to win and cover. DJ Lagway, very exciting debut at quarterback last week as a starter for the Gators, but
not starting this week.
Mike Elko's going to have some stuff for him, so I'm anticipating him to see a much tougher defense and more complicated defense than he did. I think A&M, you know, probably learned a lot from the loss to Notre Dame and will come in prepared, ready, and win and cover the 3.5.
I picked Florida to cover against Miami. Didn't go well. I think I'm going to be walking into another one here, but I'm picking Florida and Lagway to cover. And not just cover, but beat Texas A&M.
I'm very anti 2 quarterback system, and it sounds like that's what they're trying to go for in this game with Lagway and Mertz. That it just causes so much confusion. I feel like it really doesn't help an offense move forward when you know who the answer is, who provides the offense more juice. I think that's really going to hamper Florida offensively. I'm going to take Texas A&M to cover in this situation.
It's a better 2 quarterback system than Michigan has. Pat and I were watching that game, and they put Alex Orji in. We're like, you don't be Connor Stallions to know they're going to run it.
Yeah, it was bad.
So I either picked the team that lost to Notre Dame at home by 10, who then lost to Northern Illinois, or the team that got humiliated at home by Miami.
It's a tough pick.
If I knew how quickly he went to Lagway, Napier went to Lagway, I'd give a shot. I guess I'll go A&M. I think their defense is good. How's that? I'll take A&M. Lone Gator for Ross. Now here's a game. Backyard brawl. West Virginia giving 2 at Pitt, 3:30 on ESPN. No lack of hate. This should be our season opener every year. I will stand on it. Ross, who you got?
Ugh. I don't know, Dan. I mean,
tough week. Tough
yeah,
week.
It is.
Yeah, I know. This is a tough one. It's another another road favorite. I'm gonna end up picking a road team again here. But give me West Virginia to cover. I think they're the better team, but I get scared in these rivalry games on the road. You know, the environment's gonna be pretty wild there. I'm sure because they do. These two teams hate each other. Lots and lots. But give me West Virginia in a tight one to pull it out and cover the 2.
I'm taking Pitt here. I like them in this position. I think they, you know, they put it together backs against the wall, scored their last 4 possessions to pull it out at Cincinnati last week. Eli Holstein played great. I think they've got a quarterback. I think they come in with some momentum and take it to the Mountaineers.
I'm leaning Pitt for that same reason because they really came out of nowhere against Cincinnati. But I can't help but, for whatever reason, feel that this West Virginia team's better than they played against Penn State. Garrett Green's better quarterback than he's been given credit for. So I'm going to ride West Virginia. And I think that, like what Ross said, they're gonna cover in a close one.
If you're giving a home Pitt team 2 points, I'm going to take them. Over under parking lot fights is 12.
I'll take the over there. Take the over.
So yeah. I'll take Pitt. All right, locks of the week. Pat, who you got?
Oh boy. I'm choosing between a couple, but I'm gonna go with this one. I am going with the second largest drum in the world, mm-hmm. the best student field goal kicker university in the world. The honesty now of Roarman Honda. It's all lining up for the Boilermakers here to cover 12.5 at home against Notre Dame. I don't think Notre Dame's very good. I think Purdue is much improved, and they've had 2 weeks to prepare for the game. They were off last week after an easy opening win against Indiana State. Hudson Card played very well. Keep him healthy. Don't have him turn the ball over, and I think this is a close game.
Ross? Dan, I'm gonna circle this conversation back to the beginning with the Pac-12.
Okay,
Washington plays Washington State at Lumen Field. The Cougs are a 4.5-point dog. I like what they've done so far. They beat up on Texas Tech last week. Washington's got a whole new team. Will Rogers at quarterback scares me a little bit in picking this game, but. But I think the Cougs at least cover and maybe knock off the Huskies.
All right.
Good pick. All right, my lock this week. Last week I cooked up the Dabo special and it panned out. And this week I'm cooking up the Diego Pavia special.
Oh, here we go.
10.5 versus Georgia State. I don't know what this disrespect is towards Vanderbilt that they think that they can't cover by more than 10 points. This Georgia State team has been in a bit of a rough situation this offseason with the coaching change that they're dealing with. Vanderbilt looks great on offense. So I'm taking 10.5 there. I think they're going to win this pretty handedly.
All right, I'm going some action. Toledo is getting 11.5 at Mississippi State.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Northern Illinois is good. I think Toledo's probably better. This is a really solid program. Jason Candle, one of the best coaches in the country, really good. Mississippi State, not only they did rally to show some life at Arizona State, but they're coming off that game, traveling back, million things. 11.5 is a lot of points. I think Toledo keeps this thing close and is threatening at the very least against Mississippi State. So I'm going to take Toledo Rockets to cover at 11.5. And that is our thing. No one even picked the prime game. Colorado State. See you better win.
That They better win.
It's going to get ugly if they don't win.
Yeah. Going to be
Big
dicey.
12 versus Pac 12. Who'd have thought? Who'd have thunk it?
Who'd have thunk it?
Who'd have thunk it?
Who'd have thunk it? Anyway, that's our show, Realignment Show. We'll be back on Sunday to overreact to everything we see this weekend. We appreciate all you guys who stick around and are committed to the college football podcast that is pursues justice for student fans everywhere, including Indiana. We'll talk to you later.